Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Visit us soon at our new State College location.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Penn State football fans, how are you? It's Blue White Breakdown time. I'm Bob Flounders. David Jones is in Downingtown. So, Penn Staters should be proud that they had the most draft picks of any Big Ten school in, what was it, fourth or fifth in the country?
I think they were fourth in the country, eight guys. I thought they had a shot, an outside shot at nine. Then for a while there, it looked like there was only going to be five, and then a bunch of them went very late. But yeah, Dave, this is the biggest Penn State draft class since 1996.
More than that, my buddy Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews here in Chester County tweeted out yesterday a very interesting graphic that the most NFL draft picks the last 5 years. So you can guess who's on top, Alabama and then Georgia with 48 and 44. So this is the last five seasons. This is pretty much the glory days of the James Franklin era once he got his own guys, right? Then Ohio State with 42, Louisiana State with 41, and who's fifth? Penn State with 31 guys in the last 5 years drafted. So my question to you, Bob, is if these recruiting rankings are to be trusted with all the four and, well, not too many five stars, but very highly ranked recruiting classes in the last 5 years, and the NFL player personnel people and GMs are to be trusted over their judgment the last 4 or 5 years. What's happening in between when these guys are at Penn State? That's my question to you, Greg.
Did you just Greg Marmalade me?
Yeah. That's an animal aspect. Yeah.
Hey, don't try and do that to me. You'll never get it. You'll never get it past me. Dave, I will say, you know, the 2016, 2017, and 2019 Penn State teams are probably involved in this number. And those were three very, very talented Penn State teams. On the other hand, 18, four losses, you know, 20, five losses, 21, six losses. It's just not, you can't, it's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form.
And yet these guys are being gobbled up by the NFL.
You know what, I would say is, Penn State's not producing a lot of elite quarterbacks. And that one position can really, really be a huge difference. I would say that. But you're right. There is no excuse for them to be 11-11 the last 2 years. They should have never lost four games in 2018. They should have never, even 16-17. I mean, that 17 team could easily beat Ohio State and Michigan State. And then who knows what we're talking about, but it just felt like.
For this to happen, and not one college football playoff appearance. The Brett Ciancia list I was telling you about, among the top of the last 5 years, among the top 11 on that list, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, LSU, Penn State, Michigan 6th, Florida 7th, Oklahoma 8th, Notre Dame 9th, Clemson 10th, Washington 11th. Only two of those schools didn't have a college football playoff appearance at all, Penn State and Florida.
I do think 16, they deserved a better fate. I think they should have gone, and I think they would have been more representative if they gotten in.
Yeah, they would have done a better job than – who would they have played? Washington? Washington got in and
– they got beat like 28-7 by, I think, Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
I was going to say, Dave, this is a great time of year. You got the NBA playoffs, you got the NHL playoffs, the draft just came and gone. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to everyone in advance. And also, it's Kentucky Derby Saturday. How about that?
Do you know your ponies or you don't?
No. I just wanted to say it's just a fun time of year. That's all I was going to say. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the draft, and I want to talk a little bit about I know you're not a big fan of the mock drafts. I know, especially 2 days after the draft is over.
Yeah, not a year in advance.
Well, no, I want to talk about this draft first. And I just think that, you know, you started off the show with a very valid point, man. What in the world is going on? You know, they've had a lot of guys drafted. They've had a lot of guys go pretty early in the draft too. You know, what do they have to show for it on the field? Not very much. And I think the fan base is, they're not stupid. This is not a great don't you do it. Don't do it.
I didn't say anything.
You better be careful, babe.
I am actually curious because you know a lot more about the NFL than I do. I'm curious of your thoughts about what kind of chances each of these guys have to make impacts with their team. So I'm going to go through them. If you want to do that, that would be fun, I think. Dotson with the Commanders. Now, they obtained Carson Wentz.
See, that's the problem, right? Let me stop you right there.
Would they have been better off with Heinicke or what?
I'm not sure, Dave. I should probably. Did they take a quarterback later in the draft though, or not?
Yes, they did. Some kid that I had not. He was supposedly when he was a freshman.
Was it
he
Matt was Corral or somebody like that? No, that was the Panthers.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Corral. He was later on.
All right, I'm going to get on this. But yeah, I think the dishes are done with that guy. I'm really stunned that the Colts were able to get anything for him after he just imploded late last season.
Kind of reminds you of the James Harden trade, right, with Simmons. They got what they could get. But he's going to be the starter for Washington, right?
Sam Howell. They took Sam Howell later in the draft.
Yeah, that's the kid. That's the kid, yeah.
Yeah, he is going to be the starter. And you know what? If Frank Reich couldn't fix him, because he played his best football when Frank Reich was the OC for the Eagles. If he gave up on him, Dave, there is nobody in the Redskins camp that's going to be able to help.
That's probably a bad sign. Plus, as I recall, their protection is not the greatest. Is that right with Washington?
Yeah, they do have some issues, and they lost a guy in free agency, Brandon Scherff, the former Iowa star, left. But the one thing that I think might help Jahan is, you know, when he was at Penn State the last 2 years, he was the pass offense. You know what I mean? You could say, Pat Freiermuth only played a couple of games in 2020, shut it down. I think he had shoulder surgery. I mean, Jahan was out there by himself. Now, he did get a lot of targets.
Now he's got Terry McLaurin,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he has McLaurin, who is probably a legit number one, 2,000-yard seasons consecutively. If you want to make the argument that it could be pretty good for Jahan, it is that he's not going to be the number one option in that offense. So he should get some favorable coverage matchups because he's got the hands, Dave. He's a great route runner. He's certainly fast enough. It comes down to how good Carson Wentz is going to be.
With Wentz testing him on balls thrown this way and behind him, and you know he'll get a chance to test out his skills on those.
Dave, you could make the argument that maybe Sean Clifford got him a little bit more experience with that at times. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, he certainly has tape to prove it. Okay. So anyway, you like Jahan's choice with Washington or no?
I do. And things can change in a hurry when you finally do get a good quarterback. Things can change in a hurry for a wide receiver.
Now, the Falcons needed edge rushers quite badly, and they chose Arnold Ebiketie. I think it was 36, 38, right there somewhere early in the second round. And he's going to apparently get an opportunity to play immediately, would you say, as an edge rusher or no?
They had 18 sacks total last year, the Falcons. Their leading sack guy was Dante Fowler Jr. I think he had 4.5. He's with the Cowboys, and he's going to be he's not even, I think, going to be an every down player. Arnold Ebiketie is absolutely in a great spot because he is a legit talent. I was very impressed with him. I think he's going to get better. You know, he's certainly going to get every opportunity for that second contract, you know what I mean? It's the second, when you're in the second or third round, or if you're not a first round pick, it's really that second contract that if you can really play well, you can break the bank. And I think of all the players that got drafted, he was probably my favorite player to watch 2021. And I just thought in every game, Dave, he was dangerous. He didn't always get the sack, but he was around the quarterback an awful lot. He missed some sacks, but man, I think he's a terrific player. Since I've been covering Penn State, Dave, I would say the only player that I would say might be a little bit better than him off the edge for me was Tom Bahaly. I think he's better than Etor Gross Matos. Aaron Maben was kind of a, you know, he was a 225-pound. He made the most of that 1 year. He was a first-round pick, but he just didn't work out for him. He was too small. I think Ebiketie is the closest thing I've seen at Penn State to Tom Bahaly.
And it's such an important position in today's NFL, more maybe now than it ever has been. And the draft showed that. I think there were three edge rushers taken in the first six or seven picks.
Yeah, Tavon Walker, Hutchinson, and then that Oregon kid Thibodeau. I think they went in the top five.
And Ojabo probably would have been it if he hadn't. That got blimey. He tore his Achilles during his pro day.
Yeah,
I just read it. I had no idea that got by me completely during basketball.
So in 2 years, man, this Ravens defense is going to be the talk of the NFL because they're going to have Owe, who's a freak, on one edge, and they're going to have this guy on the other edge. They got Kyle Hamilton. They stole Tyler Linderbaum to be the anchor at center. I mean, they got that gigantic 6'10 tackle from Minnesota. I think the Jets and the Ravens did the best in the draft, but that is going to be a very fun.
So you think Linderbaum's arms are long enough? It cracks me up. Doesn't it crack you up when you see these draft analyses with the metrics guy, the analytics guys? Well, he's got short arms. You know, he's a football player. He's a monster, man. And so he lasted until the end of the first round, but there were people who were saying he was good because of his draft analytics that he might last into the second, which is insanity. And I don't believe the Ravens were expected to take a center, were they? It wasn't really a position of need.
They don't always prioritize need, but they're not going to pass on an elite player.
Which brings us to Jaquan Brisker with the Bears. They absolutely needed secondary help. In fact, they drafted a corner right before Kyler Gordon from Washington, you know, a few picks before Brisker. Again, a guy who he's going to get a chance to play, you know that, and he has no regard for his body. We've seen that. I suppose they're going to play him at strong safety. Is he durable enough? Do you think he's going to stay healthy?
I don't think he's necessarily has to be in the box, maybe on, you know, obvious running situations, but he more than made some plays, I think, in the passing game. But I think he's a hybrid player that I think that they can play him almost at either safety spot. And the last safety that the Bears took from Penn State turned into one of the best safeties in the game. Adrian Amos was picked by them in the fifth round of 2015. What a steal.
I thought of him during the battle days of the O'Brien limited roster.
He was originally a Joe Paterno recruit, and then he had a couple really good years with Billy, and then he had his last year at Penn State in 14 was also good. He could play safety or corner. He's getting well paid, deservedly so. I think Brisker, you said it, Dave, he might be too reckless for his own good. I hope none of these nagging injuries shorten his career.
Yeah, yeah, because he just clearly a leader, clearly a guy who will put his body on the line at any point, and I'm sure the Bears love that.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at Curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our locations, including our new State College dispensary located at 1248 South Atherton Street. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
I was asked to choose somebody. Because I'd done this list of not necessarily sleepers, but guys who looked undervalued with their choice through the ages in Penn State history, and then turned out to be pretty good players from Saturday choices, or what is now a Saturday choice, fourth round or later is what I made it, third or fourth round or later. And I chose Brandon Smith. Now, I'm not predicting he's going to do it, because to me, he's kind of a guy who has all the measurables, but you wonder whether he's a football player. And you better be a football player in the NFL, or you're not going to last. So the Panthers got him, which is he's sort of the anti Luke Kuechly, right? Who is nothing but a football player, and will be a Hall of Famer. You think
I think at some point Luke is going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. But he put his body on the line. You talk about putting your body on the line constantly. He had like 8 seasons and then he was done. Brandon Smith has all the measurables. He's big. He's fast. He can change directions, but he's not a terribly good tackler, and or he hasn't shown it, and takes bad angles sometimes. This is what we would talk about, and or either run himself out of plays or didn't see the play. He's not a dumb guy. He's certainly an intelligent kid. So what's the deal with Brandon Smith? And what do you think Matt Rhule saw him? And Phil Snow, I mean, he couldn't be in a better situation as far as guys who know linebackers and a top-down structure in that place where all of those coaches, from Rhule to Phil Snow to their linebackers coach, have all been together for like 10 years. So there will be no questions or discrepancies in his coaching.
You mentioned Snow and you mentioned Matt. They did great work at Temple. Snow was his DC at Baylor too, correct or no?
Yeah, they were all together. Mike Saravo too, the linebackers coach. They've all been together for 10 years.
They know defense. They know how to get guys in their best positions to succeed. He did it at Temple. He did it at Baylor. I think that Brandon Smith, he's an upside pick for me all the way. There's no question to me he's more talented than going 120 overall in the draft, but I think teams had some concerns that you just mentioned. But boy, I think in the right system, and you said it, he's fast and he's big. You turn those players loose, Dave. You don't have them. I don't necessarily want to see him maybe, you know, on the weak side where, you know, in a lot of traffic trying to fight his way through guards and centers, which he tried to do. To your point, he did miss some tackles. He also made some incredible plays at Penn State. He's rangy. He can run. He had 5 passes defensed. I think there's another level to this kid's game. I think he could become almost a situational pass rusher at that size and at that speed. And he was never really asked to do it at Penn State, a lot like Micah Parsons, even though he was a defensive end in high school. They didn't ask him to do a lot of that stuff at Penn State. It was only late in his career I thought they turned him loose. You saw what happened in the Cotton Bowl. I'm not saying Brandon Smith's Micah, but I do think absolutely I think you picked the right guy to have a chance to be a guy that plays in the league for a long time. He does have some things he needs to clean up. He's a young player, but boy, physically there were not very many talented linebackers more so than him in the draft. And I think in the fourth round,
the thing about physically gifted players is that they lend themselves to versatility. So sometimes coaches can't decide what the hell to do with them, and they want to try him out at every specific thing. And then maybe that's his only problem. Maybe just turn him loose as an edge rusher and see what happens. And I suppose he could cover tight ends. He could be a decent guy in coverage. But maybe you got the thing. Maybe that's what he is, and he's never been tested really at that position.
Dave, you covered athletically. You covered a similar player. Derek Wake, Cameron Wake, played linebacker at Penn State. I don't even think he was drafted. And the minute he kind of got a little bit bigger and he learned how to become a defensive end, he played until his mid-30s in the league. He had to go to Canada for a couple of years. But when he came, he made a lot of money. He was a hell of a player. You know, he's about the same size as Brandon Smith. I think Brandon Smith could do a lot of things to help an NFL team. But I don't know if you're going to ask him to take on 300-pound guards in the hole, I don't know that that's his best – that's the best spot for him.
Well, he's certainly an interesting player and an interesting pick, and Matt Rhule and Phil Snow liked what they saw there, and they believe they can make him into something. Then we come later in the fourth round to the best punter in my time at Penn State, which is a long time. I didn't cover John Bruno, who had the dust up with the Miami Hurricanes in 1986, the Fiesta Bowl. I don't think John Bruno was the punter that Jordan Stout is. It seems to me that punters, really good punters, like 46 yards, a punt punters with altitude, guys who can not only that, but can consistently pretty much control where they kick it. are incredibly valuable people. But I guess you could argue these days in the NFL with all the scoring, punters might have been devalued. It has always amazed me that punters are almost never picked before the fourth round if you've got one like this. So have I isolated the reason or what?
Yes, but I would say that Stout's versatility, he could be the kickoff guy. And if anything happens to, well, the Ravens have the best kicker maybe of all time. But if God forbid anything happened to Jason Tucker, even though he was like a 65% kicker this past year, you can use him in a pinch to kick a long field goal or something like that. He can do three different jobs, but he was the best punter in the Big Ten this past year. The Ravens, I think, had 6 fourth-round picks. And the one advantage to have 6 fourth-round picks is you can take whoever the hell you want in the fourth round if you like them enough.
He was chosen with the 130th pick in the draft in the fourth round, and they had 2 fourth-round guys after him. He was their 8th pick, and he was the 130th pick. When you got that many, you can take a flyer on a guy at a place where you might not have normally, right?
What's the deal with that Virginia Tech coaching staff that let this guy go to Penn State? Was Fuente the coach?
Yeah, it was. And I hooked up.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, I remember hooking up Greg Pickle. He was all excited with.
he does get easily excited.
Well, with my nephew, Josh, who had just, I don't think he had transferred out of there.
I think his last year there was 18 at Virginia Tech. Scout.
Yeah. And he said right back to me, "Oh my God, they got a great player." And boy, they did. Next is Tariq Castro Fields. I've got my own thoughts about him. 49ers got a crowded DB room, which is kind of odd, and he might have to prove his worth on special teams. I suppose, is that your view of this?
Yeah, when you go that late in the draft and you're that fast and it's not, there's no guarantee you're going to start, you better be able to play special teams. He certainly can do it. Dave, we talked about it last week. To me, my number one concern with Tariq is you never knew when you were going to have him healthy and ready to go. He missed some time, you know, in a little bit in 19, a lot in 20. And he just is a guy that I just, you know, if he's not 100%, if he's 85%, can he play? That's my thoughts on Tariq Castro Fields, because he did miss some time at Penn State, and I think maybe he certainly could cover. He certainly can run. He's big enough. So for him to last into the sixth round, there had to be some reservations there, I think.
Another guy who you wonder if he's a football player. He's big and fast for a corner, big and fast for a position like Brandon Smith, but is he a football player? That's, I think, what, you know, one of those guys that looks great in shorts but not so much in pads as Ernie Accorsi used to fondly say. So we don't know about him. Then you come to the guys who you're almost sorry that they got chosen, because they'd be better off as free agents in the seventh round, but they're going to get a chance regardless. If they get cut late, then they have to scramble around and get a practice squad. Rashid Walker going to the Packers, who are also kind of overloaded with tackles. They took 2 left tackles before him in this draft.
They might. Well, there was some talk, Dave, that they might want to move him to guard. I mean, he could get kicked inside because of his feet. Maybe he's a guard. He's pretty proficient as a run blocker, and maybe the pass blocking was a little bit of an issue. He got exposed against those Big Ten defensive ends and those Auburn cats this year. But my thought about him was, if they took a couple of tackles in front of him, they might be thinking about him in another role. He also was – I think that knee injury probably really cost him too. Torn meniscus in his right knee. Also had a serious bone bruise in the same knee. I think it could just be a total redshirt year for him. They put him on IR, they put him on that PUP list, and they just try and get him healthy for 2023, because if he's not going to play, offensive tackle, if he's not ready to play guard and he's not healthy, maybe they're just getting ready for 2023 with Rashid.
And finally, the 8th Penn State pick. Not quite Mr. Irrelevant, but almost down there, close to the Cardinals. Is he going to be Jason Kabinda? Is he going to be a fullback someday? Jesse Luketa going to the Cardinals at 256. This is a kid who loves to play football. I give this kid a pretty good chance to make a roster somewhere as a special teams player, something. I don't know what. And, you know, Jason Kambindi said the same thing. They kind of remind me of each other in the way that they love to play the game. And you thought at some point, you know, maybe Kambindi is not as fast as an NFL player should be. But, man, they found a place for him on their roster. He got cut, and then he went to Detroit. And he last I knew, he's still a fullback, right?
Yeah, he might have been a Pro Bowl alternate, or he might have played in the Pro Bowl. I mean, honestly, he was that good. You know what? Steve Keim is the GM, by the way, of the Cardinals. He went to Redland. So he's always kind of got an eye on Penn State players. But I would say with Jesse, it just if you're defensive coordinator, how do you see Jesse Luchetta? Do you see him as the role that he played at Penn State in 2020, or do you see him as kind of a stand-up defensive end who can also put his hand in the ground and be like a sub guy and be a rotational end? Or do you just draft him because he can do both? I do. I'm with you. It might not be the Cardinals right away, but he is too determined and too talented, I think, to not find his way to a team in the NFL. A little like Kevin Givens with the Niners. I think he had to overcome a little adversity initially, and now he's part of their defensive line rotation. I think Luchetti is a violent player too, and I think he can really help the right team. He's just going to have to be patient. If it's not the Cardinals, it's going to be somebody else.
All right. I like that bit. That was – I like listening to – very frankly, I like listening to your NFL knowledge because it's – I work all day on that damn power pole on Sundays, and I just don't get a chance to watch the NFL except Sunday night, maybe when I get done, or the Monday night game or Thursday night games. I just don't watch enough of it to know as much as you do about it. But that was fun. Before we leave, I want to get your take on the Mavs last night and Luka and that whole series, because it doesn't look good for them, but they hung in there, man, against the Suns. I thought they played really well the last, you know, three quarters.
I think Kidd said it after the game. I mean, Luka can only do so much. I'm just glad that he's healthy, honestly, Dave. I was just worried that if they rushed him back, he was going to do something else to that lower leg injury. He looks good. Brunson looks good. But, man, the Suns are a different animal. They're not the Utah Jazz. They have that – how about that Chris Paul game to close out the Pelicans?
They thought he might never miss. Yeah.
And he made all his free throws. Like, and he's 37. Like, what do you do? I think the Mavs can win a couple games, but I the Suns with Ayton inside, don't they have Michael Bridges too? That kid from Villanova?
Mikhail Bridges, yes. And which segues into the Sixers. People might ask why I'm asking you about the Mavs, but that's your team. I don't know what this affinity you have is with Dallas. Why don't you move to Texas if you like Dallas so much? Because he likes the Cowboys too.
Mavericks, Cowboys, Texas Rangers. I like the St. Joe's Hawks and the New York Rangers, for those of you.
Mikhail Bridges was, for about 10 minutes, a Sixer.
A Sixer.
Yeah. They couldn't use him now, could they? You know, there's so many. I'm not even going to get into the Harden deal. If they'd unloaded Simmons before, like, last year, they could have gotten a lot more for him than Harden. I think the only reason they got Harden is no one – The Nets were the only team that wanted to get rid of somebody that was worthy of fair value. And now here we are. We're looking at James Harden at 34 and looking, I guess he's 33, but looking 37. He has no lift.
Is he in shape?
I think he's in shape, man, but he looks 33.
Did Maxey get into it with him last night, the kid from Kentucky?
I turned it off before that happened. I didn't see that.
There was a clip on social media. I think there was. I'll have to Google it, but I think there might have been a little bit of a. They were chirping at each other. Yeah, not physical. It was just. I think Maxey was frustrated.
Well, Tyrese Maxey should be frustrated because he should have some people to play with. What if, for instance, last year they traded for PJ Tucker, you know, instead of Harden? There's a piece that one of the guys they were going up against from the Heat that you could use and traded for pieces instead of just giving away draft choices and all the complimentary parts, Curry and Drummond, for this guy who's, you know, he's a depreciating asset. He's like a sports car that's had 170,000 miles driven on it and is just going to break down. And you can see it coming. You can see it happening. you can just, it's more exacerbated with Joel Embiid not playing until game three. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. It was really just a segue to get to that.
All right, guys, we'll be back next week. Who knows what we're going to talk about? I think we're going to talk about Will Levis, though, next week, Dave. Spoiler alert.
You better start going into your B and C material, buddy, because the easy podcasts are over. You're going to have to branch out, you know? You're going to have to get out. Well, you have sports knowledge. We need to expose more of your sports knowledge to the general Penn State populace.
You can expose my sports knowledge. I just want to expose you, Jones. I want to expose you, my man.
I don't think anyone wants to see that. All right.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.